thought we were going to be starting back over on warfare again, and we're going to. I don't know when. And you say, wow, we done went over a year on that because we're still in war. That's why. And we'll forget about it. And it's just like this thing about revival. You know, we talk about having, you know, revival, and hey, we have a, you know, a couple, you know, a few good weeks, and maybe have a and have some really good, you know, meetings as far as the preaching. But hey, that's not the end. That's just supposed to be the beginning. The beginning. This thing, a revival, is something that we need to be desiring, and just trying to get closer to the Lord all the time. I know last week we looked at love and how that love is not an emotion. Love is, first off, it's a person. It's God. God is love. And without Him, you don't have no real love. You can have, you know, this worldly stuff. It's, you know, that those emotions which come out of you, those desires that you have. But, you know, it's always conditional. It's always about you. But when it's God, it's always about others. But this week, we're going to start looking in the book of, take your Bibles, turn to the book of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. And I don't know how long, it looks like this thing is developing in my mind. It might be several weeks that we go on this in John, chapter 14. And I'm going to reading in verses 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to say something right here while I'm at it, you know. Over the years, I heard, you know, you hear preaching about, I'm going to have, you know, a mansion in heaven. Other people put, I'm going to have a room, you know, rooms. Some people say, well, we're going to have room because there's Father's house, one house. But, you know, house there could be talking about a household. And there could be many buildings there in a household. You know what I'm saying? There could be many places where people are staying. But the bottom line is, I'm not interested in a building. I don't know about y'all. I'm interested in a new glorified body. It's going to be just like the Lord's. Amen? No sin in it. Hey, my mind's going to be like His mind. I'll always do what's right. I won't do like I did this morning. I get up this morning, and I couldn't do nothing right. Now, I'll tell you a little more about that in a little bit, because it kind of goes with our lesson. And He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And Jesus sent it up far above the heavens. It's not the heaven that we're not going to inherit the heaven where God's throne is today. That's going to be shaken. It's a new heavens and a new earth. God said, hey, we're going to have a place the devil's never been before. The accuser's never been there before. Sin, rebellion has never been there before. But where God's throne is, there's been rebellion. There's been war. Is that not correct? According to the Bible, there's been war there. Satan tried to make war against God. And Lucifer and his angels fought, and Michael and his angels fought, and it said they prevailed not. Lucifer was cast down. And he's going to try it again. He's going to try it again. Hey, he might know that he's lost, but he ain't going to quit to the end. And we need to have that same attitude. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He sent up far above the heavens that he might fill all things, whatever that is. All things. Think about it. I mean, that's big. That old Barney said, that's big. It's really big. Amen. It's big. In my Father's house are many mansions. If not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, see, that's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in a harp, and I'm not so much interested in, you know, a robe. I'm going to be robed in His righteousness. Amen. It's not going to be like, you know, you're putting on satin clothes or anything like that. You're going to be putting on His righteousness, His glory. Huh? Be like Him. And he goes on, he says, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And we know this is a famous scripture to us. And Jesus said unto him, I am T-H-E, the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. For the next little while, we're going to be looking at the way. The way. Now, you're going to see that there's all kinds of ways. All kinds of ways. I'd like to say, first off, about the way right here, looking in these verses, He is the way unto the truth. You're not going to come to the truth any other way than through Jesus. He's the one that teaches us all truth through the Spirit of God. He is the way to the truth. And that's the only truth. Don't make no difference what Dr. Bottlestopper said. I don't care how good a preacher he is. You know? Or Dr. Broadbottom. I don't care how good a preacher they are. It don't matter. Because they cannot guide you into the truth. Only the way can guide us into the truth. Not only is He the way into the truth, but He's the way into life. I'm talking about the life, and there's more than one. The Bible talks about more than one life. It talks about, you know, the abundant life that we can know right here. You know? Now, you ask yourself. I've heard it said many times. If you hear that Brother Dave Leslie's dead, don't you believe it? Huh? Jesus said, he that believeth me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Huh? I have passed from death into life. And it happened through the way. I came to the way. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is the way. And He guides us into the truth and the life. So the first thing I'd like to say about that, He is the way. And more importantly, He is the way and the truth and the life, and there's no other way to the Father. That's what those verses says, right? You can't come to the Father by any other way. He is the way. My first point, and we're going to look at this more extensively in the future, I'm just going to lay out three points here, and we're going to study each one of them. The first one is, there's no other way to the truth. There's no other way unto the life. There's no other way unto the Father but by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking at that more in the future. That's my first point that we're looking at this morning. Jesus Christ, the way to the Father. Now, we're going to look a lot today about another way. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Job, chapters 24. Job 24. Job talks a lot about the way. Job 24, We'll begin reading in verses 1. Look at these words carefully as we read them. I mean, there is so much wisdom in these words. God gave Job so much wisdom. I know that Solomon was the wisest man ever lived, but he had all them wives and stuff. He didn't sound that wise. This man had one wife, huh? 20 youngins that he raised. Looked over them. Why seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty? Good times, bad times, you know? Times are not hidden from the Almighty. Do they that know Him not see His days? Well, they see, people see what's going on around them. The Bible says, knowing God, you know, this world chooses not to believe in God. He says, that know not God, see His days. Some remove landmarks, and they violently take away flocks and feed thereof. They drive away the ass of the fatherless, and they take the widow's ox for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way. They turn the needy out of the way. I mean, the way that they need to live, the things that they need, they turn them out of the way. They drive them into the wilderness, so to speak. Happens every day, all over the world. Happens if you're still working, it'll happen on your workplace. They drive the needy out of the way. The poor of the earth hide themselves together. Behold, as wild asses in the desert, go they forth to their work, rising betimes for a prey. The wilderness yieldeth food for them and for their children. They reap every one his corn in the field. They gather the vintage of the wicked. They cause the naked to lodge without clothing, that they have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains and embrace the rock for want of a shelter. They pluck the fatherless from the breast and take a pledge of the poor. They cause him to go naked without clothing. They take away the sheaf from the hungry, which make oil within their walls and tread their winepress into for thirst. They're out there squeezing out, trampling out their grapes, and said, yet they have nothing to drink. And the soul of the wounded crieth out, yet God layeth not folly to them. I mean, you ever wonder about that? Why the poor suffer so much, and the wicked is as though he just does whatever he wants. Enjoys everything that this world has. Huh? He just takes it all for himself. They are those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways of light. They know not the ways of light. They walk in ways of darkness and abide in the paths thereof. The murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face, and in the dark they dig through houses, which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. That's their way. And they know not the light. For the morning is of them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. He is swift as the waters, their portion is cursed in the earth. He beholdeth not the way of the vineyards, drought and heat consume the snow water, so doth the grave those who have sinned. The womb shall forget him. The worm shall feed sweetly on him. He shall be no more remembered, and wickedness shall be broken as a tree. He evil entreateth the barren that beareth not, and doeth not good to the widow. He draweth also the mighty with his power. he riseth up, and no man is sure of life. Though it be given him to be in safety, whereon he resteth, yet his eyes are upon their ways. They are exalted for a little while, but are gone and brought low. They are taken out of the way as all others, and cut off as the tops of the ears of corn. And if it be so now, who will make me a liar? If it be not so now, what, in other words, he said, the things I'm telling you about how the wicked enjoy this earth and there is no judgment until when? Death. He said, if it is not so, what does he say? And if it be not so now, who will make me a liar? And make my speech nothing worth. He said, if that ain't the truth, fellas, prove it. He said, if that's not the way it is in this earth today, if that's not the way of this world, he said, prove it. Show me I'm a liar. They were accusing him. They were saying, the reason why you are suffering is because you're wicked. He said, what are you talking about? The wicked enjoy this earth. They have pleasure. They have money. They have all the money. And it's just, he said, if that ain't the truth, he said, prove it. He said, you go down to that time and in the way of this world is dog eat dog. That's the way of this world. The strong shall rule over them, the weak. The wolves shall feed upon the lambs. And buddy, and if you're saved, you made a sheep for the slaughter, the Bible said. We're made a sheep for the slaughter. Look at the Lord Jesus. Every time he turned around, what was they trying to do? Kill him. Kill him. They wanted to take what belonged to him. They were jealous. They said, hey, was that not the rich? Huh? Was it not them lofty rulers that was out to kill him, that wanted him dead? Huh? The religious leaders. You know? See, they had it in their mind, we're good. We got it easy. We're blessed of God. Look at our position. Look at our money. Look at our authority. Who is this man? It's Nazarene. Carpenter's son. Never been to school, don't know nothing. I don't care what. He is a child of the devil, they'd say. They said, we're good. Hold that thought. He said, and I'm glad that ain't me. Let's turn over to 2 Samuel. I'm going to meddle. We're going to do some meddling now. God did some meddling on me last night. Now we're going to do some meddling, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city. One was rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he brought and nursed up, and grew up together, and with him with his children. It did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David got mad, boy. Just like we look at the newspaper and we hear about things that people are doing and things that are happening to people all around, and boy, we get mad, do we not? You hear about some guys been, you know, messing with little children. What's the first thing that runs through your mind? Man, they ought to string him up by his toes and beat him till he's hanging in strings. Boy, them wicked, wicked rascals. Man, they need to kill them. They need to get rid of them. That's what David's anger kindled greatly against the man. He said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives to thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if it had been too little, I moreover would give unto you such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Amnon. We ain't careful. We can be like David, you see. Get all self-righteous, think we living up here somewhere where we really ain't. He said, "Thou art the man." Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 25, I'm going to begin reading verses 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Now, I'm not going to try to take this out of context. I know this is talking about when Jesus Christ runs again and separates the nations and he judges the nations. But notice this. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And there is an application here. You know, this may be in the right division, this was talking about the nations, but there is a precept, it runs from one end of the Bible to the other as well. You reap what you sow. Whatever dispensation you're in, don't make no difference. You're going to reap what you sow. And notice what's going on here. Before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father. And I heard people say, hey, now you're sitting on the right side. They'll try to get their people over here on the right side in church. Yeah. And then they said, yeah, it's because they're on the left side. Oh, the goats are over here on the left. Well, but how does that work now? The preacher's up here, he's looking out there. The one's on the right side is on his left side, left hand. And then I guess all perspective, isn't it? About what's left and what's right. But God knows what's left and what's right. It's on his left and on his right. Then shall the king say unto them, on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now, yeah, you say, well, yeah, that he's talking to the righteous there. What do you think made them righteous? They had received the righteousness of God, did they not? Doesn't mean that they didn't do things that were wrong. There's a lot of righteous men in prison. Isn't there, Brother Rick? Some of them really good Christians. Some of them wasn't really bad men when they went in. That's what we would consider bad. As I've always said, there's only two kinds. Huh? Caught and uncaught. That's the only two kinds. One's that got caught in it and one's that didn't. I mean, I did some things I could have pulled some time in my younger days. I'm not proud of it. But I mean, I could have got 10 to 20 years on a few things. You say, what was? Ain't none of your business. God knows about it. But here, he says in him, when you've did it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Then he looks down here and he said, then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not, and in prison and you visited me not, and then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungered or thirst or naked, a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, did not minister unto thee? See, they didn't think they'd done anything wrong or not, you know. He said, when you did it not in the least of these, you did it unto me. We need to be careful about how we treat people. You say, well, yeah, I know we need to treat our brethren right. We need to treat everybody right. Oh, you don't know who's going to get saved and who isn't. You don't know who's your brother or who's not sometimes. But God knows. Take your Bible. Don't you turn to the book of Isaiah 58. He said, well, here, he's talking to lost people there. And he was. He was talking to lost people, no doubt. Go to Isaiah 58. He's talking to his people here. Isaiah 58, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways. Don't we do that? We study the Bible, we seek to know the ways of God, right? I don't mean we're right with God. They seek to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. Ooh. How many in here wants justice for yourself? Justice, come on. That's what we deserve. Everybody, come on. Nobody in here wants justice. for themselves. They want it for, we want it for other people though, don't we? Huh? We want that wicked crowd to get what they deserve, don't we? They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take the delight in approaching to God. I like coming to church. I like having the Bible taught to me. I like taking time and reading and studying the Bible. I like that. Don't mean I'm right with God. See, because they delight in this. They have delight in approaching unto God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Thou shalt call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. I don't know what that means to you, but I know what it means to me when God was getting on me last night. It means people that's out here who are held fast by their sins. They're bound down. They're bound by their wickedness. And the only hope they have is what God has given us to give them. I know the Holy Spirit will try the hearts, but you know something? He's chosen us to take them to good news, that they might be loose. He said, this is the fast I've chosen. Oh, he said, they were reading their Bible. They were studying the Torah. They were doing that, you know, the law. They were coming and offering their offerings, you know. They were even afflicting their bodies. They were doing without food and laying in sackcloth and ashes and crying out to God. God said, I ain't listening to nothing you got to say. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That's what God wanted from them. And he knows that, and I'm going to say this, you know, this morning, when I got up, this head was like this. I go out there, I get out of my car, I go to crank it up. Oh, man, I ain't got my notes, I ain't got my guitar, I got to go over to the nursing home, I haven't got this. I done cut the alarm off and locked the door. Bam, 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 bam. Carol, bam, 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 bam. Let me in. David? Yeah, I locked myself out. She said, oh, okay. So, right. This is a man. This is the way we are. So I get in my car. I drive up here then. After I go back in there and get what I need, thank her for being so sweet to come and let me back in. And I go, I drive up here. I get out of my car, slammed the door, went over to check on the buses, make sure they all had gas, and I went, oh, I left Brother Jerry's keys in the... So I go over there, and I go to get my car, and I said, car door's locked. Guess where my keys are at? I'm a mess. Turn to the book of Job 23. That's the way of this world. That's the way of this world. And we are, in our churches, many of us have gotten pretty worldly. A lot of us have gotten more interested in ourselves. Because of, just like this morning, when I got up, my ways were all messed up and mixed up. You know why? Because that's what I was doing. And if we ain't careful in our Christian walk, it'll get to be what we're doing. And you know what? You'll have just the same kind of tangled up mess as I did this morning trying to get up here and get done what I needed to do. Look at Job 23. Verses 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. For he is of one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he hath performed the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with me. See, there's the way to the Father. There's the way to truth. There's a way to life. There's the way of the wicked in this world. And then there's our way. Job said, the Lord knoweth the way that I take. You know, this morning, I didn't know which way I was going. I was going all sorts of ways. And I wasn't going the right way. When I got out of that car and shut that door, I done made a mess. When I walked out of my house and shut that door, I done made a mess. I didn't know the ways that I was taking. I didn't know when I walked out that door and shut the door there was consequences the moment that door went shut. I didn't know when I got out of my car and shut that door there was consequences. And you know what? It cost. My wife had to get in her car and drive down here and open the car door for me. There's a price on the ways that we take. And the Lord knoweth the way that we take. He knows if we're walking in his way. Job says, the Lord knoweth the way that I take. The Lord knoweth the way that I take. My ways. God knoweth my ways. Look in Proverbs 3:6. Y'all know this verse, I know. Very familiar verse. Stuck together. I'm going to begin reading in 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. My ways. In all thy ways. The Lord said, in all thy ways. He said, we need to acknowledge him. Man, you know, if I'd have been walking a little closer to the Lord this morning, he might have said, David, don't shut the door. You said, would he do that? Yes, he does to me all the time at work. I get into a conundrum and it's like I can't think to get anything laid out. And I'll stop and pray. I say, God help me. I did something. I said, help me with this. But he'd come to me. He said, well, that's just a coincidence. I don't think it is. I'm going to give him the credit. If you don't or not, I'm going to give him credit for it. See, that's just all in your head. Well, I tell you what, sometimes I need something like that in my head. I need the Lord to help me. Look at Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 21. Man, how did I get over there? Proverbs 5. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself. He shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction in the greatness of his folly. He shall go astray. But the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. You see, the Lord knows when we're walking in his way. And the Lord knows when we're walking in our ways. And the Lord knows when we're walking in the ways of this world. You might not always know it. That's the reason why we need to check up time to time. That's the reason why we need to come to church, and the preachers in it sometimes need to hang us out over some hot coals and say, examine your ways. Examine your ways. And we're going to go through these 3 points again next Sunday. And we're going to go in depth. We're going to look at each one of them a little deeper. And one of them, is, I think it's over in Hosea, where it talks about our ways. You know? While the house of God layeth in ruins, said, yeah, but you built your house. And God says, consider your ways. You sow much and you reap little. The house of God lays in ruin. Now, we started this idea and a desire for revival. One of the reasons is because something me and Brother Rick was talking about yesterday. We was talking about how we've seen God do it. Things we've seen God do in the past. But have we gotten so busy with our own things now that we're not taking time and expecting to see God do it now? There should be a desire in our heart to see the house of God on fire for the things of God again. I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for you men. I'm thankful for God's faithfulness to this church. And I think we owe him some faithfulness to some things. And we need to look at this because, hey, we didn't go through 2 months praying for revival just to say, okay, it's done. Like I said, that's supposed to be a beginning. And we are to take what we have heard and over the last 2 months, the things that we've heard and the things that we have done. I don't know how many of you took a card and prayed for 5 families through that whole thing. And I hope the ones that took a card certainly prayed for those families for 2 months. But it ain't time to stop praying. It's time to begin. It's time to let that grow. God spoke to my heart about some things last night, and by God's help, I got some things I want to do for the Lord. I got some ways that I want to walk in that God's showing me, some things that needs to get done. Somebody's got to do them. I got one Sunday a week open, and I'm going to try to use it and fill it for something. And it ain't going to be for laying around watching a ball game or taking a nap on a Sunday afternoon. I want to have plenty of time to rest when I get to glory. The Bible said, work while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. The Bible says, those that sleep and harvest shall what? They're going to end up weeping. They're going to wind up hungry. Brother Ernest Bartlett, will you close us out in prayer this morning?